Genesis 42, Joseph's brothers go to Egypt. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain, for there was famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold the grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dreams about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." "No, my lord," they answered. "Your servants have come to buy food. We are all the sons of one man. Your servants are honest men, not spies." "No," he said to them, "you have come to see where our land is unprotected." But they replied, "Your servants were 12 brothers, the sons of one man who lived in the land of Canaan. Your youngest is now with our father, and one is no more." Joseph said to them, "It is just as I have told you. You are spies, and this is how you will be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your number to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison, so that your words may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then you are surely, as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them all in custody for 3 days. On the third day, Joseph said to them, "Do this, and you will live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison, while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me, so that your words may be verified, and that you may not die." This they proceeded to do. They said to one another, "Surely we are being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded for us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come on us." Reuben replied, "Didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen. Now we must give an accounting for his blood." They did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using an interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Joseph gave orders to give their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack, and to give them provisions for their journey. After this was done for them, they loaded their grain on their donkeys and left. At this place where they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack to get feed for his donkey, and he saw a silver in the mouth of his sack. "My silver has been returned," he said to his brother. "Here it is in my sack." Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other trembling and said, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them. They said, "The man who is lord over the land spoke harshly to us and treated us as though we were spying on the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we are not spies. We were 12 brothers, sons of one father. One is no more, and the youngest is now with our father in Canaan.' Then the man who is lord over the land said to us, 'This is how I will know whether you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for your starving households and go. But bring your youngest brother to me, and I will know that you are not spies, but honest men. Then I will give your brother back to you, and you can trade in this land.' As they were emptying their sacks, there in each man's sack was his pouch of silver. But when their father saw the money pouches, they were frightened. Their father Jacob said to them, 'You have deprived me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you will take Benjamin. Everything is against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'You may put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you. Entrust him to my care, and I will bring him back.' But Jacob said, 'My son will not go down there with you. His brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm comes to him on the journey you are taking, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow.'"
In praise, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm feeling good. Got this. Feeling full. We got snacks here. We're having fun. We got water. We got sustenance.
We've just been eating grain.
We've been eating all the grain we've been saving up for the first 7 minutes of the podcast.
I ate some raw couscous.
You see, we also went through a famine, kind of like Joseph, except we only had a couple minutes of happiness, and then it's been a few hours of sadness, of famine.
Daniel, speaking of sadness, I've got something that's going to cure yours. Our good buddy Schaefer B is here.
Howdy!
Hey, Schaefer. Schaefer's back with us. Thanks for coming over again.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been so long, man. Yeah. And I'm here to bring that feast.
Yeah.
That's what they call me.
Schaefer brought the raw rice. Yeah.
Crunchy. Yeah.
I don't know why people... I don't know why rice is so popular. It's just real crunchy and dusty. And
yeah, it's weird, right? You think there would be... I would love it so much if I could get rice in a way where it's like... soft and warm.
Yeah.
I like it sharp and cold, baby.
Yeah. It like gets stuck like right in between where your teeth meet your gums. Just littered with rice shards.
It's made brushing my teeth easier because it's dug out crevices in between all my teeth. Yeah. So I can just floss with yarn.
Y'all know that that movie with The Rock and some other guy called Pain and Gain? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. It's Mark Wahlberg.
I don't the rock watch and... porn, Daniel.
Actually, if you saw the poster of this movie, clear your clothes.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to spill some seed and fall victim to the Lord's wrath.
Daniel and I learned recently, Schaefer, that if you spill your seed on the ground, it's a sin.
Yeah.
And also mandrakes might pop up, like from Harry Potter.
The Lord's likely to smite you.
That's actually really treacherous because sometimes if my underwear is not tight enough, my speed just spills, you know? I love spilling your seed like it's in a bowl.
Yeah.
Well, the joke I was trying to make was I wrote the script to Pain and Gain and it was stolen from me. Ooh. I called it Sharp and Cold.
I don't know if I'm getting that one.
I don't think anyone is. Moving on.
Sharp and Cold.
I don't see how that's... Is that supposed to be the opposite of...
I don't know. Well, it made sense when he said Sharp and Cold earlier.
Oh,
it made sense.
Sharp is not in reference to your wit, but cold may be in reference to your brain.
Calling someone stupid by saying you got a cold brain.
I think you actually said sharp and hard. I messed up the whole joke.
Sorry, Daniel. I was baffled.
Any hoozles.
Well, we're here in Genesis chapter 42, and it starts out with God's last favorite boy, Jacob.
Yeah.
He's upset.
Yeah, well, he's upset because his kids... are just a big group of buffoons.
Yeah.
You know, they're just screwing up where all the world. And you know what? He's probably still sad because he lost his son. He actually, if I believe, when Joseph disappeared, mm-hmm. He took off all of his clothes and put on a potato sack. And got real sad for a long time.
Wait, Jacob did?
Tore his clothes and put on, you know, like a burlap sack and wept.
I wonder why his sons are lame.
I wonder why there's a little bit of mental illness in this family.
Dad's sad again. He has a cabbage on his head.
It's weird. The only son he liked died, so
he's lost his mind.
Yes.
You know what this is? This is really the story. You ever hear about? The boy Hilton, Paris Hilton's brother. You know how big of a fuck up he is?
Yeah,
this whole lineage, all going back all the way to our pal Abraham. They've lived in wealth essentially. Like, they've rarely been bad off.
Well, I don't know, man. They're moving around a lot. This is not wealth compared to Egyptian wealth.
Okay. Well, not compared to what Joseph is right now.
I think their idea of wealth is that they have something to eat at night.
Okay.
They're not, kicking back.
So you think all this time they've... Well, there were times where people had, a lot of, like Esau and them had a lot of cattle and men to fight for them, but not necessarily they weren't living in big cities and
I think these
are a bunch of this is like billionaires' kids for generations and generations being
I don't think you go around convincing people that your wife is your sister and then, and all that stuff happens when you're billionaires.
I see what you're saying though. Like they could be like the evolution of like people who didn't have to work hard.
Well, there are the evolution of like a group of people who are just. But their lives are always made fraught by their own doing.
Well, Jacob spent 14 years of toil to get his wives.
Yeah.
So, 14,
I don't know as much about Jacob. I didn't realize he was a favorite boy as well. We don't have to get into
He was the last favorite boy. He went through a lot of work to get these kids, and then look at them. Look at what they're doing.
So, yeah, God's last favorite boy is like, hey, we're all starving to death. There's grain in Egypt. Go buy some grain, you dummies.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you still looking at us for?
Yeah.
I guess they do have means to buy grain, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
And essentially, as you heard at the top of the pod, the boys show up in Egypt, and Joseph is sitting there, and he's not going to let them know he's their brother.
Yeah.
He's just going to play tricks on them.
Yeah, because I like to think that... That Joseph just grew like a really big mustache.
Yep. I was thinking the same thing, man.
And they don't know what he looks like. Or mustache.
Or he just put like a piece of wheat like right here. He's like, I'm gonna get him now.
he pulls him up there, and the way he decides to go about it that I thought was interesting is just like, you guys are spies. He's like, they're trying to find out where they're weak, you know, and just calls them spies.
Throws them all in jail and says, you're going to stay in jail 3 days, right?
Yeah.
You're going to stay in jail until your youngest brother comes, which is this kid named Benjamin.
Yeah.
They left him
because he's Jacob's new favorite son. Then he's like, I don't want you going off on this crazy buying grain adventure.
So Benjamin came in after Joseph left.
Yeah, it seems like he's the new favorite.
Gotcha.
Actually, you know what? I wish we were smarter than we are,
Daniel. Because we can't say this every episode. I do too. We're not.
Yeah. Well, anyways,
just say whatever dumb thing you're about to say. Get it out of the way.
Was he born? Was he a part of the original crew? Or do you think he was born after Joseph?
I don't know. What are you talking about? I presume that Joseph knows who he is because he wants to see him.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And
so he must have been there.
But I don't remember.
These are things that people are wondering.
He might have been but a spilled seed when Joseph left, you know?
No, spilling seed, it has to not make it into the vaginal canal.
Yeah.
It's got to be intermingled with the sand of the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you can't spill your seed very accurately into a canal.
If you spill your seed accurately, you in fact have not spilled it.
Ah.
Yeah.
But
poured it.
You poured it.
Using an old timey funnel.
So
an old timey funnel.
Yeah, like what? Oh, because it's old timey.
Because it's just like crooked. What?
No, it's made out of some sort of woven.
It's
wicker.
I like talking about biblical times as old timey. like usually my mind goes to like 1920, but we're going way back for old timey. So this is kind of weird, right? Why does he want to see? Is this just him trolling them? Like, he's like, you gotta go get the other son too. What is Joseph's reasoning for this?
I think we won't know until they eventually get Benjamin down there. But yeah, the question is, why does he want Benjamin to come?
Well, if Benjamin, and this is really getting into the reeds of the wicker funnel.
All right. But,
I'm standing by that. But if Benjamin hadn't been born yet, and they said we had this other brother, maybe he's like, you mean Joseph? Why don't you? You're gonna stay in prison until you get Joseph. That was my initial thought. But I think he just wants to see Benjamin. He puts him in prison, and he's like gonna hold out, and then he realizes, wait, fuck, maybe my father needs the grain.
Uh-huh.
I better send him back, you know, so that my family doesn't die. And yeah. I'll just keep one of them up here as collateral.
I also think there he's like Joseph gets touched too, because I mm-hmm. felt like because he hears his brothers being like, this is us being punished. God's punishing us for what we did to Joseph.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, look, we suck. We all suck. And Joseph is like, oh, they at least care enough to feel sorry about it.
It's that scene in the movie where the kid overhears, like, you know, the parent finally being, you know, saying nice things to him or whatever. Like, and then he weeps.
Well, Reuben, it's the same guy. Reuben is the one who convinced them to not sell him to sell him to slavery, right?
Yeah, Reuben was the one that had the slave idea.
I'm not sure if it was that or if he was just anti it in the first place. But Reuben's the best of the brothers.
Oh, actually, no. We got it wrong. Reuben. Look.
It's a terrible fucking podcast.
Sandwich.
Look, I'm sorry. It's a tasty sandwich. I'm just clarifying. I remembered it correctly. He was going to throw him in the well and come back and get him later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was going to save him. But then everybody else got a little, they were like, no, we want to do slavery instead.
Mm.
Okay.
And he went along with it.
Yeah.
He was overruled.
Overruled. He was over-Rubened.
Well, so Joseph pulls him out of prison, except for Simeon.
He keeps.
I was having that problem too.
Yeah, he keeps Simeon. We do that a lot.
He keeps Brother S in jail, sends him on their way, and he sneaks their silver back into their sack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were chatting about that because I got confused, which is easy to do.
I thought it was just a good gesture from Joseph. He was just like, here.
That's what I thought it was, yeah.
But I heard what you guys were saying, like, and then what happens to it at the end? It seems like they're like, what, did you guys not pay for this? Like, what's happening? Yeah. Why don't we sell the silver?
Yeah.
This is Egypt we're messing with here, guys.
Yeah. I think it's a little of both. I think it's a little like, this will benefit them, but also it'll make them nervous.
Yeah.
He likes watching them sweat, they get nervous.
Don't want to mess with Egypt at this time.
Yeah, so they feel like they seem to have fucked over Egypt, and Egypt will be hot on the heels. They go home to Jacob to get Benjamin to bring back, and Jacob is like, no, you can't have him. Like, he's my baby boy. And you already got Joseph killed, and now Simeon's in jail. So Reuben has to step up once again.
Yeah, well, Jacob's got a point, because he's like, every time you guys leave, one of you doesn't come back. You know, it's usually the one I kind of like a little bit.
Well, I mean, last time they were just grazing somewhere when Joseph died. I assume they've been outside of their village in the however many years it takes for Joseph to gain power.
Yeah.
I think this is over the course of at least 4 or 5 years. Well, it's over 14 years. Because this is the 7 years of... It's at least seven.
Yeah, because we're into famine.
Yeah,
we're into famine time. So, yeah. Jacob doesn't go. Yeah, and Jacob doesn't need any more enemies. He already has all those people he murdered in those cities back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids murdered way back when. That's another story there, Schaefer.
Two of his sons murdered an entire village.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. Is it one of these sons?
Assuming, yeah. Yeah, they don't really say which ones.
I thought it was Levi. It's Levi and someone.
Yeah. Murdered a whole city. So
yeah, know that your genes are rot with blood.
Poor Jacob. His family is just like, he's just sitting around. He's got all these enemies. Nobody can hold it together. Now he's losing his sons. They're just like dropping off every decade. He loses one.
And it's never the ones he wants to lose.
He's like, I could lose a couple of you others, but I needed the rest of you to stop it.
I understand why he's losing his marbles, wearing toe sacks.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfectly acceptable method of grieving. I think it gets the point across. I'm broken.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
We all know when to come help Adam out because he's wearing.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have a potato sack, so he just cuts open a pillowcase for a body pillow.
Yeah. You know?
Just wearing a pillowcase and cooking instant grits for weeks.
Yeah.
Paulette and I are going to see the new Star Wars movie next week. And we thought we were joking about how funny it would be if we went dressed up as Jedi, but we just used like old sheets with like a belt and basically wore like Jesus robes with a lightsaber and like sandals.
That would work. Like,
that's pretty much it.
You could just you could like paint like wooden broomsticks, just like the colors that you want.
Yeah.
You want my little plastic lightsaber?
that's pretty good.
That's crooked because it got hot in the car.
This looks like a Viagra commercial.
Yeah, it's a fun dick joke from a student film.
Blue Chew.
All right. Is there anything else weird that happens in this chapter?
No. I'm just going over. I just feel so bad for him, for Jacob there, but I don't know. Honestly, it's kind of a fun story. I mean, again, like, I know I said on the last episode how into this story I'm getting, and it's getting more fun, especially with with the idea of doing a little sneaky sneak on there. And I think it's going to be like fun when it happens again.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Yeah. I was just looking at your lightsaber. No, you're right. This is the first big prank in the Bible, bro.
Yeah.
Except for the circumcision.
Circumcision prank. A couple wife pranks.
That's right. So yeah. This is actually...
The prostitute prank from a full...
That's true. You know. This is the next in a long line of Bible pranks. A
lot of Bible pranks.
This is something I'm sure I've said many times, Adam, but the Bible fucking... Some of the best pranksters, what you could do if you made an animated series just called Bible Pranks, and you animated, those those animations like the Quick History show on YouTube or it's just like
basic drawings,
like history abridged or something. Anyways,
yeah,
basic little stick drawings or whatever. And then we just call it Bible Pranks, and it's all the pranks, but animated.
Of them involve murder.
Yeah, a lot of them involve murder. There is a story in the Bible somewhere, and I don't know how many years it's going to take for us to get to it, but it's where kids make fun of a guy who's bald. They make fun of him because he has no hair. And then God sends down bears to murder the children. I can't wait until we get to that one.
That's a good prank, bro.
That's a good Bible prank.
God is a really funny dude.
That's just guys I play bear pranks with.
I'm gonna rate this chapter maybe more harshly than it deserves to be. I'm gonna give this one a 2.5. Sacks of grain and none of the silver on top. All right. Yeah. Once again, there's something about the presentation of this that I don't like. I think it's a good story. Maybe I'm so familiar with it that I'm not, not surprised by
it. You're also a little riled up on this episode. You're riled up.
I am.
You're getting hot.
I'm hot under the collar, and it's not a preacher's collar. It's a sinner collar. I got boobies on it.
Yeah,
and daggers.
Red. Yeah. It's a fiery episode. Put that in the show notes. Adam's fiery on this episode.
That's it. That's all it gets. 2.5 sacks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, not a lot happened, but like I said, I'm still in the story. I am going to downgrade it because the last one, at least had some Pharaoh talk. We don't even get to talk about, what's Pharaoh doing through all this? Just getting fat in the corner, I assume, wearing that funny hat that they wear.
Dude, this just goes to show what kind of an asshole you are. clearly, Joseph is acting Pharaoh over here. All you care about is a guy with an actual title. This is someone who cares more about the monarchy than the prime minister.
Yeah, well, God save the Pharaoh, I say. I would give it a 2.75 Jacob tears.
Sad Jacob.
That poor, he's just getting old and sad. He got that elderly depression.
I think I, as many of you might remember on last episode, I gave the last story 2.75. I think after reading this one, if it is allowed on this show, I would like to change the last one to 3 and give this one 2.75.
I mean, that's a lot of work for us to do. But yeah. Yeah, you can do that. That's going to fuck up the math on the spreadsheet hard.
Yeah. Because we keep detailed numbers.
Can you just put in my voice saying 3 just over that one right now?
Yeah. Okay, we'll have to deep fake you.
Wait a second. Record it clean for us just real quick.
Okay. 3.
Perfect.
Great. All
right, good. Perfect. Because I don't want to look like an idiot. I just think this one, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I said this last time, and maybe I shouldn't say this every time, but it's just like, it's just kind of like boring. It's just like, there's just this one little thing that kind of happens. Like, I don't know. It's like,
I think you're
I feel like we're on another step to another part. I just feel like we keep hitting steps to something that's going to happen more, you know?
For it being one of the most coherent stories, this one has been less interesting than others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not as much stuff coming out of left field.
Yeah.
You can kind of get ahead of it and tell where it's going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I think 2.75 for this... or 2.75... Simeons and or Simon,
which is 3/4 of a body.
Yeah,
that's yeah. I agree. This is kind of like this current season of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh,
going slow.
We watched that in like a weekend, dude. I love that.
Yeah,
season.
Yeah. okay, I want to do something. It might frustrate Adam. And now doing it at the end.
A new segment.
I'm doing it at the end so that he can cut it out if he wants.
No, I like this.
But
Daniel, why are you pulling out that hymnal?
Uh-oh, Adam's at the same time pulling out a toe sack. Oh, no.
No.
Schaefer, just watch.
Don't say a word.
Okay, I'll get the funnel.
No, last time Schaefer was on, I said that I said that Taco Bell was overrated. And I said that I would.
Last time, but
I said that I would research it
2 times ago. Yeah.
And I would research it, and okay. I would come back with my Taco Bell review.
Fantastic!
I know everybody's been waiting for it, but this is canon. I got to get it out. I also been thinking about it for a long time. So
this
I said,
is canon.
It is canon.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Taco Bell is only slightly overrated.
All right. Oh, just as a whole.
Let me catch my breath.
I am irate. No, okay, not specific items, just the whole restaurant as a whole. All
the whole restaurant as a whole, I didn't take into account originally how consistent they are. And I know, yeah. This is important because I had one of those Popeye's chicken sandwiches.
Oh, you got one.
Yeah,
nice.
And mine was dry, and I didn't have enough sauce on it. Oh. They got a consistency problem. They can't keep up with the chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
They're just not, you know, it's not it. But Taco Bell is the same every time. Only Del Taco can be better. But sometimes isn't.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but I'm changing. Let the internet know. And I'm going to update on my Facebook to everybody. It's only slightly overrated.
Look, I'm sorry. I can't hear that without responding a little bit. Okay? So look, I also want to say.
This is why I wanted to do this on your podcast.
I have before said that Del Taco isn't good. I changed that. I think that there are just bad Del Taco locations.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I went to a Del Taco the other day. The fries were crispy.
Mm-hmm.
All the ingredients in it, quality wise, definitely better than Taco Bell.
If you get a great experience. Del Taco, they have fresh. Like you eat the tomato and you're like, what? This is a tomato.
the lettuce is like crispy, and I really enjoy. I had a bean and cheese burrito, and I actually got the fries that have like the stuff on top. It's like nacho fries.
Mm-hmm.
But I got those, and I thought it was really good. And also Taco Bell, I totally get it, but they are very consistent. It's a well-oiled machine. And also, I don't know if you guys know this, but they took off one of my favorite items, the double-decker taco. It's no longer there anymore.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's been there since like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Like since like we were around the time.
That's like
we were
childhood
born.
Shit.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's boycott time.
Boycott
it is,
time.
It is. Anyways, well, thanks for saying that, Daniel.
Thanks for enduring that, Adam. I just wanted to get it out.
No, I think it's great. So Daniel plugged Del Taco. Schaefer, why don't you tell the whole wide internet about your cooking show, Lightning Hot,
yeah,
with Schaefer on twitch.tv/hostedpod Fridays at what time PST?
6:30
Great plug, Schaefer.
All right.
No, I'm joking. You got anything else to say?
No, I don't. That's it. That's what's happening. Go see that show. It's on We All Share That Network. Daniel has a show as well on Monday. I'll plug his show every Mondays, right?
Yeah.
Beating the devil.
Come drink with me.
8 p.m. PST. We'll catch y'all on the next episode of Reading Heathens.
Reading Heathens.
Bye-bye.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.